Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Janna Vallabha Giridharo Dari. Gopi Janna Vallabha Giridharo Dari. Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Janna Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Janna Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Paribrajakacharya Stutara Sarasi Srimad Abhay Charanarvind Bhakti Viranta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Granta Raja Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, Chapter 18, entitled Lord Vamanadev, the Dwarf Incarnation. I'll read Prabhupada's introduction to the chapter, since we'll be starting from the beginning. This chapter describes how Lord Vamanadev appeared and how he went to the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Bali, who received him well and fulfilled his desire by offering him benedictions. Lord Vamanadev appeared in this world from the womb of Aditi, completely equipped with conch shell, disc, club, and lotus. His bodily hue was blackish, and he was dressed in yellow garments. Lord Vishnu appeared at an auspicious moment in Shravan Dwadasi, where the Abhijit star had arisen. At that time, in all the three worlds, including the higher planetary systems, outer space and this earth, all the demigods, the cows, the brahmanas, and even the seasons were happy because of God's appearance. Therefore, this auspicious day is called Vijaya, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has a Satchit Ananda body, appeared as the son of Kashyapa and Aditi. Both of his parents were very astonished. After his appearance, the Lord assumed the form of a dwarf Vamana. All the great sages expressed their jubilation and with Kashyapa Muni, before them, they performed the birthday ceremony of Lord Vamana. At the time of Lord Vamanadeva's sacred thread ceremony, he was honored by the sun god, Brihaspati, the goddess presiding over the planet Earth, the deity of the heavenly planets, his mother, Lord Brahma, Kuvera, the seven rishis, and others. Lord Vamanadeva then visited the sacrificial arena on the northern side of the Narmada River, at the field known as Bhrigu Kacha, where Brahmanas of the Bhrigu dynasty were performing yajnas. Wearing a belt made of munja straw, an upper garment of deer skin, and a sacred thread, and carrying in his hands a danda, an umbrella, and a water pot, kamandalu, Lord Vamanadeva appeared in the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Bali. Because of his transcendental, effulgent presence, all the priests were diminished in their prowess, and thus they all stood from their seats and offered prayers to Lord Vamanadeva. Even Lord Shiva accepts on his head the Ganges water generated from the toe of Vamanadeva. Therefore, after washing the Lord's feet, Bali Maharaj immediately accepted the water from the Lord's feet on his head and felt that he and his predecessors had certainly been glorified. Then Bali Maharaj inquired of Lord Vamanadeva's welfare and requested the Lord to ask him for money, jewels, or anything he may desire. Sri Shuka Uvacha. Utham Vrincha Sruta Karma Virya Utham Vrincha Sruta Karma Virya Padurba Bhuva Amritabhu Adityam Pradurbabhu Va Mritabhur Adityam. Chatur Bhujam. Shankhya Gada Abja Chakra Chaturbhujam Shankhya Gada Abja Chakra Pishanga Vasha Nalina Ayata Ikshana Pashanga Vasha Nalina Yatankshana Itam virincha stuta karma virya Pradurba bhuva mrita bhur adityam Chatur bhuja sankhya gadavja chakra Vishanga vasa nalina yatekshana Itam virincha stuta karma virya Pardu babhuva mrita bhur adityam Chatur bhuja sankhya gadabja chakra Vishanga vasa nalina yatekshana Sri Shuka Uvacha. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, Itam, in this way, Virincha Sruta Karma Virya, the personality of Godhead, whose activities and prowess are always praised by Lord Brahma. Purdurva Bhuva became manifested. Amrita Bhu, whose appearance is always deathless. Adityam, from the womb of Aditi. Chaturbhuja, having four arms. Shankha Gada Abja Chakra, decorated with conch shell, club, lotus and disc. Pishanga Vashaha, dressed in yellow garments. Nalini Ayata Ikshana, having blooming eyes like the petals of a lotus. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sukadeva Goswami said, after Lord Brahma had thus spoken, glorifying the Supreme Lord's activities and prowess, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never subject to death, like an ordinary living being, appeared from the womb of Aditi. His four hands were decorated with a conch shell, club, lotus and disc. He was dressed in yellow garments and his eyes appeared like the petals of a blooming lotus. The word Amrita Bhu is significant in this verse. The Lord sometimes appears like an ordinary child taking birth, but this does not mean that He is subject to birth, death or old age. One must be very intelligent to understand the appearance and activities of the Lord in His incarnations. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Janma Karma Chame Dibyam Evang Yo Veti Tattvataha. One should try to understand that the Lord's appearance and disappearance and His activities are all divyam or transcendental. The Lord has nothing to do with material activities. One who understands the appearance, disappearance and activities of the Lord is immediately liberated. After giving up his body, he never again has to accept a material body, but is transferred to the spiritual sky. Tvakta deham punajanma naiti mam eti sarjuna. Om ajnana timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshushun Militam Jaina Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manubhishtam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapandantikam Sri Shuka Uvacha Utam Virincha Stuta Karma Virya Padur Babhu Vamrita Bhur Adityam Chatur Bhuja Shanka Gadaja Chakra Pishanga Vasha Nalina Yatekshana. Sukada Goswami said, after Lord Brahma had thus spoken, glorifying the Lord's activities and prowess, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never subject to death like an ordinary living being, appeared from the womb of Aditi. His four hands were decorated with conch shell, club, lotus and disc. He was dressed in yellow garments and his eyes appeared like the petals of a blooming lotus. So, the appearance of the Lord, Vamanadeva, is being described in this chapter. And we see that right from his birth, is extraordinary. It's not an ordinary birth. Some of you may have been present at the birth of a child. But I doubt if you experienced such a birth where the appearing from the womb of Aditi, he's fully decorated with his ornaments. Chaturbhuj is one of the Lord's names, right? Because he's carrying these four items, and you see pictures, he has these four items, the conch, the club, the lotus flower, and the chakra. Even the Lord Krishna, when he appeared, exhibited those forms before taking the body of a so-called normal baby. Yes? You remember that, right? So this is extraordinary. This is not some normal thing. And what's more, on top of it all, this is also a key to our liberation. Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, and Prabhupada quoted the verse, that if you can just, if you can understand the transcendental nature of the appearance, disappearance, activities of the Lord, then you're liberated. You can go back to the spiritual world, join in the Lord's pastimes. So that's very important. I think that's important for us, since that's our endeavor. We're trying to become devotees of the Lord. We're endeavoring to go back home, back to Godhead. Yes? No? Anyone? That's what we're here. That's what we're about. That's our desire, our hope. And so here, or in the Gita, the key, or one of the keys, is given by Krishna himself, and the acharyas expand on that. So it seems simple enough, doesn't it? Just the Lord's transcendental. Does anyone not accept that? You all seem to understand that, or we all seem to understand that, I think. But why aren't we liberated then? Because he says, if you understand the transcendental nature of my appearance and disappearance, then you're liberated. The impersonalists, they spend a lot of time and trouble trying to achieve liberation. I'm not liberated because I can't even, it's so hot and I can't even get the breeze of the fan sitting back here. so what to do. We think, the guide is there, the directions are there, all the signposts are there, the acharyas give us all the information that we need, but it doesn't seem to be enough for us. Is it? Is it enough? Something missing, it seems to be. Krishna says that you try to understand. We do discuss it. We even accept it. But the result doesn't seem to be there. Of course, I'm speaking from personal experience and personal, from my perspective. There may be many of you who are liberated. I don't know. I can't tell. I don't have those eyes to see. But from my perspective, in spite of all the information, in spite of all the discussion, in spite of all the acceptance, at least intellectually, I'm not getting the result that is promised by the Lord. Right? He says, after giving up his body, he never again has to accept a material body, but is transferred to the spiritual world. Tvakta deham puna janma naiti mam etu sarjuna. So it's a promise. The Lord promises, he guarantees this is what's going to happen. Just try to understand the transcendental nature of my appearance and disappearance activities. And so we sit, we discuss, we accept. Prabhupada says in the purport to that verse that we have to have the faith that this is true, because we can't really there's so many incarnations of the Lord, as described in Brahma Samhita, right? Waves of the verse is not coming to me right now, but there's waves of incarnations of the Lord, and then there's Krishna himself. He also comes once in the day of Brahma. There's Lord Chaitanya. He comes after Krishna appears, and all the appearances of these incarnations are transcendental. It's not the same as us. They're not the same as us. When we are born, we have this material bodies, and when the Lord appears, his body is Satchit Ananda. We are also Satchit Ananda, right? Isn't it? But not these bodies. That's our original position. That's the position of our real self. So Satchit Ananda, when he appears, he's Satchit Ananda in this material world. When we appear, we're Satchit Ananda covered by material bodies, and therefore we are subject to birth, death, old age, disease, all these inebrieties, which we don't like. We're not very happy about the situation. We don't like to be, I'm getting old, I don't like it. Not happy with that situation. But the Lord, he never gets old. Huh? He's above he's transcendental to the material nature. The material nature is his nature. He's the source of that nature. He's the source of that of this energy. Right? So how to understand that? How to come to the point where we're going to get the benefit of what a Lord has promised in that? Obviously, the intellectual understanding is not enough, right? And even though I may have an intellectual understanding by reading all these pastimes, reading about the Lord, hearing from others, I may even accept it intellectually. But it has to go deep. It has to be that faith has to be embedded in the heart in order for the effect to take place. Because the impersonalists also they recognize the Satchitananda aspect of the Lord, but they also think that they're the same, right? The Lord appears, he has a body, they also have a body, right? It's different. So that difference we have to accept. And that difference is the problem. We don't accept the difference because we also think that we're special. And that's why we ended up here in the first place. So we are special. Being parts and parcels of the Lord, that's a special situation. But we're so tiny that we are covered, able to be covered by the Lord's energy. And the consciousness is wrong. Our consciousness is wrong. So intellectually understanding and faith deep within the heart, where we understand actually, because if we understand the appearance and disappearance of the Lord, then we understand our own situation. Is it correct? Huh? So if we understand our own situation, then we're in a good position. What is that situation? That we're dasa, dasa, anudas. Right? He's very great and we're very small, tiny, infinitesimal, 1/10,000th the tip of a hair. That's very small. Huh? So this kind of realized understanding is what we need to come to. And that's only possible by service, by acting in our position, in our real position, by taking up activities which are akin to what our original position is, which is servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. That's our position, right? That's our real position, we're told by the acharyas. We may not accept it, but that's our position, and that's the faith, and that's the understanding that we have to come to within our hearts. We have to accept that. Whatever our external position is, we may be a billionaire, or we may be a metor, a sweeper, But the real situation between the two is the same. They're both parts and parcels of the Lord, Satchit Ananda, covered by that body. And so that body has to be used in the service of the Lord. Whether I be a sweeper, or whether I be a billionaire, or anything and all, everything in between. So action. I may be thinking in one way, I may be accepting in one way, but I have to also act. Pariprashnena sevaya. It's mentioned there also. It's not just understand, read, understand, but sevaya must be there. And by those, jointly, by those activities enjoined, we can come to the platform of really understanding the Lord, His activities, His disappearance. And then we're guaranteed to get the goal that we're looking for. Any questions or comments, Mataji? Oh yes.
I have two questions.
Is
there anywhere mentioned why Vamanadeva appeared as a dwarf?
Why he appeared as a dwarf? Well, the Lord appears in all different kinds of forms and species. And that form specifically fitted the purpose for which he came. I don't know, I can't answer the question whether it's mentioned anywhere. Perhaps it'll come up. But that's my understanding. But the Lord always appears in a particular form which is serving the purpose for which He is appearing. Like Lord Bor, when He appeared, he had to lift up the earth, right? So He had the proper form to be able to do that. So similarly, I would say that this form of the dwarf form where the Lord appeared was specifically suited for the purpose. And we see here, as Prabhupada mentioned, and as we read on through this chapter, it was very beautiful and attractive form. It wasn't, also you think of a boar, it's not very attractive. And also if you think of a dwarf, it's not from our perspective. But see here, the descriptions from from Brahma and all these people who are present, he was transcendentally effulgent. All the priests were diminished by in their prowess, and they all stood up immediately. You don't see that. It's not normal. It's not ordinary. A dwarf walks in, it's a boy, dwarf boy walks into the arena. Big, big sages, big, big personalities all there. They all stand up immediately because he's so transcendentally beautiful. They could understand this is something special. So I don't think we have to, we have to take their perspective, and we have to take the perspective of the Lord. He takes forms according to His purpose, what He wants, what He needs, what He wants to do. He doesn't need anything, but what He wants to achieve in this particular pastime. He has a purpose.
And my second question is that Krishna said that if one understands his birth and pastimes are transcendental, then he will not take birth. Yeah. And he also said that one cannot understand him. Only by the mercy of Krishna and spiritual master one is able to understand. Yes. So does it also mean that the mercy has to be there? I mean, it's still not clear to me that how would we understand the pastimes of Krishna and the birth, because theoretically, as you said, we can accept what he's saying, but does it mean, that is, does it have a, some other meaning that what Krishna is indicating here?
Now, she didn't hear your question.
Krishna said that one has to understand his birth and pastimes as transcendental, only then he will not take birth again in this material world. I mean, he, that person will not come back. And one cannot, he also said that one cannot understand him. One cannot understand Krishna until there is mercy of Krishna and spiritual master's mercy is there. One cannot understand Krishna. So does that mean that one has to have mercy of spiritual master and Krishna? Is that indicating that, or what exactly does it mean?
It's exactly what it means, and that's where the service comes into the picture, because without service you can't please the devotees or the spiritual master. There has to be service there, and by that service one pleases the spiritual master. The lotus feet of the spiritual master are the only way you can achieve pure devotional service. Right? We chant that every day. It's a fact. We have to please the devotees, we have to please the spiritual master. By their mercy we can understand the Lord. Who can understand the Lord? Ananta Dev, with his thousands of mouths, he can't get to the end of the glories. He's chanting the glories of the Lord. He can't reach the end. It's just continually going on. So how can we understand anything? Only by mercy. It's a fact. And so that's the point I was making, that you know, we can understand intellectually, we can discuss, but we don't feel the that we are achieving the goal, and therefore it means that we are not ready, we are not accepting the mercy, or we are not acting in a way to achieve the mercy of the devotees. Because if we had that, if we had the mercy of the devotees and had the mercy of the spiritual masters, then we would have the mercy of Krishna, because they are they're his devotees and he always wants to please them. Right, starting from Radha all the way down, his devotees. So yeah, I always like to stress to myself and to others that this service to the devotees and service to the mission of Prabhupada and his followers is paramount for us as aspiring devotees. It's paramount. Is that okay? This Prabhu and this Mataji, you decide.
Hare Krishna. Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, one can understand me as I am only by devotional service.
Say again?
One can understand me as I am only by devotional service.
Yeah.
Tamama bijanati.
So you're repeating. She's repeating.
Hare Krishna. Can you say something about Mataji's first question? Can you say something on Mataji's first question? Why Vamanadeva appeared as dwarf? Shri Jayadev Goswami says, Chalayasi Vikramane Balir Vamana. That means Bali Maharaj was he was lord of the entire universe at that time. He had grabbed everything. But he was following Brahmanas very sincerely. So that was the first reason that Vamanadeva appeared as Brahmana. And also because Lord wanted to cheat, he cannot, that's why, if he knows that he can conquer the entire world, he might not have, promised what he promised. So thinking that he is only a dwarf, he said, whatever foods you can measure with your small legs, you can try that. So then when he measured, then he measured the entire universe. So, and couple of more things happened, that Vamanadeva also brought Ganges from celestial world. And the third thing is, Bali Maharaj's sister had a Vatsalya Bhava for the Lord, who became later a Putana. So like Lord always does, he does multiple things in one go. Hare Krishna.
Is it? Hare Krishna.
Please correct, Prabhu.
Huh?
Please correct if I am
wrong. Well, you said the same thing I said in a different way. So what's the problem? Any other questions? Okay then, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.